the folks were on the plane and they were looking out the windows and enjoying their trip. And the lady looks out the window and she sees this guy in a parachute just floating right by her window. And she told everybody, look, doesn't that look like our pilot? And then sure enough, he raises his sign. He says, yes, I am your pilot, but my shift is ended. But do not worry, I have left the plane on autopilot. Doesn't that sort of say it all for what's going on today? I mean, this world, isn't it a mess? It's just unbelievable what has happened around the world, around the nation, all the politics and all the things going on. But now Jesus said this. He said this would happen. Luke 21 and verse 10. I would like to start there. That's not really the subject of my message. I have an answer for this that I want to give you that God laid on my heart. But I wanted to sort of lay the groundwork here and start with Luke chapter 21, verse 10. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, or diversity of places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights. Now, folks, does this not explain what's going on today? If you picked up the newspaper today, would this scripture not fit right in with the headlines? And fearful sights and great signs shall be there from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Never have I seen a time in my lifetime when Christians were being persecuted any more than they are now. And we don't know the half of it. And some of these foreign nations, it's just horrendous what is happening to those who believe. And so Jesus said that. And they will be delivering you up to the synagogues or into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. What is our testimony? Well, he says here, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to mediate before what ye shall say, shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor to resist. We have so many religions in the world today that are on the move. Have you ever seen a time like we're living in today? And all the time, we have the truth. You and I have the truth. And we've seen it in our song service. We have that faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. And so what are we to do in this world today to combat all this? I really feel like that we did one of the most important things we could possibly do this morning already. And that is, we had a good old-fashioned prayer service. And I feel like that we miss the importance of that. I want to read another scripture to you. I want you to turn over chapter 11 of Luke and verse 2. Chapter 11 of Luke and verse 2. Now, if you think I'm going to preach as long as Brother Allen does, I don't want to disappoint you. I probably won't do that, okay? he's such a good orator of the word. But listen to this, what it says. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then Jesus said this, verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and the message that I feel that you've asked me to convey this morning is the very message I heard in the psalm service and from the psalm leader. And that is that we can come to you with anything in our lives. And I guess, Father, the one thing that I ask more than anything else is that you'd forgive us for not praying enough, for not being in constant prayer all day long about every issue in our life, about everything in our lives, everything. God, we face such difficulties and trials in our world today. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, forgive us of what we've done that we should not have done. Lord, forgive us of what we haven't done that we should have gotten done. But Father, we come to you as our Father, and we want you to work in our lives and help us to be everything you want us to be for this lost and dying world, that they might know you and come to know Jesus. Thank you for this building here, for this church. I pray you would bless it and bring many others into your midst. We ask your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what I felt led to tell you today, and myself, is I think sometimes we forget exactly who we're praying to and what he is. I mean, I know you're praying to God, okay? I know you're praying through Jesus Christ. But I felt really impressed today to bring you and me to the actual event that goes on when we pray. Think of the most favorite person that you have in your life. Think of that person. I want you to think of him or her. Child, daughter, it might be Brother Allen, your pastor. Someone you just really appreciate and you like to be around. You enjoy their presence. And you might be downtown in one of the stores and not expecting to see them. And you see them and you walk up to each other and you hug each other. Glad to see you. I appreciate all you've done in my life. You just got a natural love for. Now then, I want to ask you, is this the way you think of God? Is this how you feel when you pray? Do we pray, Father, if thou would do this, and if thou would answer this? Are we just real rigid when we pray to God? I want you to understand that he is in love with you. And he cares about all your pains, your sorrows. He wants to deal with you, as the Bible calls, Abba Father. In other words, he's your dad. He loves you. He deeply cares about what's going on in your life. And I believe the biggest mistake that we make in our daily walk is not going to him about everything all day long. What is it in your job or in your family or illnesses or whatever that you're facing? We come here and we have prayer together, and we do. I thought we did a great job this morning, didn't you? I thought we did very well. Amen. Very good prayer and very good attitude. But how much do you carry that out in your personal life every day, all day long? The older I get, the more I realize that that's where my mistake has been. That I don't drench everything that I'm dealing with in prayer. Let me tell you an example of that. When my two boys were younger and they were living with me over in Bartlett, Mid Carolyn, I remember I had built this fella a house over there. I used to be a home builder and had done very well at it. And which is a long story in itself. I'm certainly not bragging about it because I had some difficulties. But anyways, I'd done very well with it, and I had a real decent reputation there in that community. And I sold this fellow a house, and he was very, very nice when he closed. But when he moved in that house, he began to pick me to death. I'd given him all kinds of benefits and pluses and extras and didn't charge him for it. And then he got in that house, and he literally began to make me sick. I mean, it made me so sick. I tried every way in the world to please him. Now, have you ever been with somebody that you tried to please and they just would not hear of it? There was no way you were going to please them. And so I should have done this in the first place. But I think it's a good example of how to tell you how prayer works. Now, I just became in tears about it. In fact, I got up in his attic one time to do some work, and I was so upset about that that I slipped and fell through his ceiling. My foot was dangling down in the ceiling. Just imagine how I felt about all that. And so anyways, I got his ceiling repaired, and I did all the repairs I could do, and he just kept on and on and on. And so finally one day, I knocked on his door, and I said, sir, I came to buy your house back. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, you are so unhappy with this, and I would love to live in this house. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell my personal house, and I'll buy your house for full price, exactly what you paid for it, and I'll just take it back, and I'll help you find another builder, and you can go to another house. And he said, blankety blank, my house is not for sale. And so I walked away from that scene, and I went over in my house and got upstairs. We had a little upstairs, and I went up and I just got on my knees and began to pour out before God about that. I think God let me go through that to understand that He's the one that is in control of the issues of our lives. And so I began to pray about that every day. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I pondered it a lot. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed about it. And so anyways, about 3 weeks later, I was driving by his house, and there was a big moving van backed up to his house. And there was a for sale sign on in his front yard. And I asked the neighbors, I said, well, what happened to so-and-so that bought my house? And they said, well, said he got transferred back up to Nashville. And that is a true story. That's a true story. And the people that bought that house were so proud of it. They were so kind. And I just want to use that as an example of why we should drench everything in prayer. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that we make about everything. What are you dealing with in church today? Just back up from it and begin to pray about it. And then invite someone else to pray about it. What are you dealing in your personal life? I know some of you have had some very severe illnesses. And I believe with all my heart God will carry you through that. He'll carry you through it. But you need to drench it in prayer. Just continue to drench it in prayer. I believe that we need to drench this nation in prayer today. I'm really worried about America today. I want to challenge you to drench America in prayer today. Pray for our president. Pray for our politicians. Hey, listen, I don't have an answer to all this. I don't have an answer to all the news. But I do know that I know God through Jesus Christ, and I know that He has all the answers. And I know that He will answer your prayer. Now, it might not be the way you see it. There will be time after time God will answer a prayer in a different way, but He's got a great purpose for it. There's been many times in my life and your life when you were delayed in what blessing you wanted. Have you not ever seen that before? You were delayed. Maybe you were delayed on a trip, or maybe you were delayed going somewhere that you wanted to go real bad, or maybe you were delayed on a job. I think of a story about a young man who had been very, very successful on his job. And this was a true story. And he was a Christian in his job. And I know some of you can relate to the story, but it is a true story. He'd been so upset about his job, and he eventually got fired from his job. And he didn't understand it. And then he began to pray about it and ask God about it. Well, another company in another state heard about him and offered him a job. And he went to that job. And the story is he succeeded greatly in that company. You see, God has the view of what is in the future. He has the overall view. He's omnipotent, omnipresent in all of the world, and he knows what's going on. So I think the greatest mistake we make is not drenching everything in prayer. Now, I want to read a scripture for you about who our Father is. Let me read just a few scriptures here that I've marked for you. I want you to think about God like this. And honestly, really, I think we forget. We get caught up in everyday life. We get caught up in the issues we're facing. And we really forget what God is like. Sometimes I think we think of Him as some great power that we're going to come, which He is. He is a great power. He is the only power. I grant you that. But sometimes I think that we think of Him like that when this is the way that we should think of Him. Psalm 68 and 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. Now, why did I choose that? Because at one time in my life, I was fatherless. My dad had died. And I remember how empty I felt when Hank died. I just thought the world of my dad. He was a good man, a hard worker, and I just thought the world of him. I respected him. And one day he came home on the way home from a fishing trip, and he died of a severe heart attack. A young man, he was 44 years old. And so I was fatherless then. I was without a dad, and I felt so empty. And God says, I am the father of the fatherless. Do you feel like sometimes you have made some really bad mistakes? Well, you've got company. I do. I know I have. And I feel bad about it. I feel bad when I make a mistake. I feel bad when I didn't do the do's I should have done, or maybe I did something I shouldn't have done. But God says that He wants us to come to Him, and that He is our Father, and He can forgive our sins and wash our sins away with the blood of Jesus. Let me give you another scripture. But now, O Lord, Isaiah 64 and 8, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the works of Thy hands. I just get astounded at what God does in people's lives. I've known young men who were just as mean as they can be. I could tell you about one of them. One time, I was working with the Army Corps of Engineers, and I tried to witness this fella. I'd just been to a revival, and I felt like I should witness. And I tried to witness this fella, and he cussed me out. He did. He said, if you say another word, I don't want to hear this. If you say another word, I'm going to pop you. I said, I called him by name, and I said, you know what? I'll not say another word to you. I am so sorry that I have interrupted you in your life, and you'll not hear another word from me. Well, I got a promotion from that job, and I went down to Conway, Arkansas. I became a manager down there, and I was working on my job, and of course, he was a mechanic on the locks and dams. One day I was out at the lock and dam, and I saw him coming in his truck, and I thought, oh me, I'm going to go the other direction. I am not going to talk to this man. He told me he didn't want to talk to me. And so I was up on the stairs, and I came down the stairs, and I was headed for my truck. And he pulled his vehicle right in front of me. I thought, this is it. We're going to have a fight. I mean, he was really ugly to me. He jumped up out of his vehicle, and he ran over to me, and he grabbed me, and I thought, what is going on? And he picked me up off of the ground, and he said, Brother Joe, I got saved last night. I was listening to every word you said, and my life was in turmoil. And last night, I gave my heart to Jesus. I get amazed at what God can do. If you drench everything in prayer, just be you, but you realize who God is. Matthew 7:11 says it like this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? That's who you're praying to. That's who he is. And I believe that there's anything we miss the loving kindness that God wants to work into your heart. Now, there he is a God of judgment. He will judge sin, okay? He'll do that. But don't forget who he is, and that if we will turn to him and come to him, he will save us. He will bring us through our Christian life. He'll help us to have the words to say, as I read in the scripture a while ago. Romans 8:15 says it like this, for he have not received the spirit of bondage. I look at the nations all over the world, and you know why people bust our borders down trying to come here. I don't know of any people who are wanting to break through the borders of Syria. Do you know anybody wanting to go to Syria? And I don't mean anything about our neighbors, but I don't see a lot of people trying to go to Canada. I see some, but not a lot. I don't see a lot of people trying to go to Mexico. And I love the Mexican people because I've been there 3 times on a mission. I don't see people trying to go to all these other different nations, but I see them trying to break our borders down and come here. They want to come here. Why do they want to do that? Because you can live in freedom here, not in bondage, but you can live in freedom. And this is what God said he is like. And this is why America is who we are. Because at one time in our nation, we said, we are going to live for God. We're going to put his name on our money. We are going to name the name of Jesus in honor. Now listen to me, folks. You want to know what I think the biggest, scary, horrendous, frightening problem in America is today? You want to know what it is? Do you think it's North Korea? No, it's not them. I don't like what they're doing, but it's not them. Do you think it's some other nation that doesn't like us? No, it's not that. The greatest problem in America today is we have forgotten to honor the name of Christ. Amen. Listen to me, friends. Now, I want you to listen to me. If you and I are saved by the grace of Christ. Now, kids, listen to me. Grandkids, kids, teenagers, adults, listen to me. There should be never a time that you curse the name of God. Don't you do it. There should be never, ever a time that you take the name of Jesus as a curse word. Don't you do it. Don't do it. Because I'm telling you, you are cutting off, when we do that, we are cutting off the very one that gives us life. Not only life here, but eternal life. And then in the end of that scripture, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So our Father is worthy of our prayers. I want to ask you, how would you ever know that God is working in your life if you never pray? If you never pray very much about the issues in your life, and then you solve it, then you're going to say, I did it. But if you'll pray and let God solve it in His way, how He wants to solve it, and you lift that issue up before God, and then when He answers your prayer, then you know good and well that He did it. And He does it anyway. If you have blessings in your life, He's the one that gave them to you. So I'm saying to you that in our relationship, treat it like the fondest relationship you have ever had in your life. When you think of God, think of Him that way. When you think of Christ, think of Him that way. That He's your, He is the one that you love the most, and the one that you care about the most, and He cares about you. Think about it like that when you go to God in prayer. And I'll guarantee you that'll make a difference in your prayer life. And then He said something about heaven that I find very interesting, and I really think that you will see in this scripture here. I'd like to read this to you. Chapter 21 and of Revelation. Chapter 21 of Revelation describes heaven. Chapter 21 of Revelation. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, verse 4 says it all. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. Now the scripture says, our Father which art in heaven. Now that is the way heaven is now. And God means, and listen to me, there has been times here in America when it's been close to that way. I don't mean it's been exactly like that. But I've been through spiritual revivals in America where everybody took the two new commandments of Christ. What were they? Love God with all your heart. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And I've been through spiritual revivals where people just began to love each other and care for each other like never before. And God says, listen, we are to love God and go to Him. And we are a part of bringing heaven to earth. We are part of bringing heaven to earth. I knew a preacher friend of mine who was on alcohol. My family on my mother's side was extremely involved in that. And I knew a preacher friend of mine that was involved in that. He said one day, said I was in my hotel room and the room was just swimming. And I was so sick. And he said, I passed out. And then I woke up sick, throwing up. And he said, there was a Gideon Bible there and I opened it up. And the very front of that Bible, I saw the scriptures about how to be saved. And there in that hotel, motel room, I got saved. And he's one of my lifelong friends, Ken Miller. He became a pastor and raised up a great church. Raised up a great church there in Arizona. And so, you see, we are part of bringing God's heaven to earth. Now, how do we do that? How do you do that? Well, you do the best you can do. Now, we need to pray, but we need to go too, okay? We need to be about His business, and you're doing that today. But how do we do that? We drench it in prayer, do the best we can, put the Bibles out, put the Word out, and let whomever will come and come to know Him as their personal Savior. Now, I want to close what I think is a good example of how to do this. It's found in Revelation chapter 1. And I won't make another sermon out of this, but I think it's to the point of what I'm trying to say to you today. It says, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of the presence or patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, folks, this is the example that I want you to see. And I'll close on that. I want you to see that what John did, he was a minister. He was greatly used of God. I'm sorry, this allergy stuff has gotten to me. Greatly used of God. And he had preached the gospel and became in tribulation. They persecuted him, made fun of him, laughed at him. Now, listen, friends, don't let that turn you off to being the witness you need to be. Don't let that turn you off to be the church member that we all need to be. Don't let what the world says about this meeting today turned you. And so there he was, and they cast him out in a prison. In other words, they put him in solitude on the Isle of Patmos. And it says, I can imagine what he was thinking, don't you? I think that he was thinking, you know, Lord, I did all that study for you. I preached and souls were saved over here, and now my family's gone. Many of those that I've known or have been persecuted, and I've done the best I know to do. I don't know what else to do. I've done, God, I don't know why they would send me. Why did you let them send me to the Isle of Patmos? Why? Can you not imagine him saying that? You know, you've done the best you can do on your job or something, and they come down on you, and you don't know why, because you've done everything you're supposed to do, and you've said everything right, and you You know, you maybe have sinned at one time or another, but you got that straightened out and you're trying to serve the Lord and you wonder why you're having trouble. You wonder. You don't know why. And so there he was, and I'm sure that's what his attitude was. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? It's the Lord's day. And I'm going to have my own church service. Now, if you didn't hear anything else I said today, I want this all to be personal with you. I want you to understand that. That we're gathered here today together to worship. But I want you to understand that you can go before God and have your own worship service. And that He's your Abba Father. He's your dad. He loves you. And He wishes good gifts towards you. And we're living in a world turned upside down by sin. And we have all kinds of things. The reason we have hurricanes and all these other things is go back to the Garden of Eden. And we sinned there as a people. And sin came down on this world. And we've got all these things that we have to deal with. But I want you to know that me and you to know that whatever it is, you can take it to Jesus. You can take it to God. And when you go to God, please, listen to me. Please, when you go to God, you call it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, I come to you. And so there John was on the Isle of Patmos. And I'm sure he was somewhat brokenhearted. That's just my own take on the situation. And so he gets down and he says, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to have my own church service. He gets down on his knees and he begins to pray. My Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I don't mean that he prayed that prayer, but that was the context of what he was doing, okay? And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ appeared and said, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, friends, that is for you. That the person next to you, not them, but you. And the other person next to you, them. It's for you individually to get with a father like we have. And I'll close with this story. I know both my boys have heard this story probably 2 or 3 times. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but it's one of my favorite ones, and I'll close with it, okay? And so this very, very rich man, he had this beautiful art collection worth millions and millions of dollars. And he died, and his estate had all the art there. Then they were going to sell it and give it the money to the estate. And they had the big sale going on, and the auctioneers were there, and people were coming up in their limousines, and they were milling around waiting for the auction to start. And the auctioneer got up, and he said, here's what the estate owner who has just passed on wish me to do. He said, I've got one painting here that we need to sell first, okay? And I want you to review this and look it over and make a bid on it. And then we'll go on with the rest of the sale. So he unveiled the painting, and there was a young man standing by an airplane. And it was a pretty good painting. It wasn't anything real, real special, but it was a good painting. And everybody looked at it, and then they looked at all the other artwork, and they all just got real quiet and decided they'd wait and bid on the good stuff. And so there was a old fellow there that was a chauffeur of the rich man. And he saw that painting, and he thought, you know, that's his son. I knew his son. I was there the day that the news came that his son lost his life serving his country. And I'd love to have that picture. And so he raised his hand and he said, yes. Auctioneer said, yes. What are you bid, sir? He said, well, I don't have a lot of money. Would $500 buy it? And the crowd just sort of laughed, you know, because millions and millions of dollars were there. And the auctioneer said, yes, that will buy it. What is your number, sir? And we'll write it down by your name. And so they wrote it down. And then the auctioneer turned to the people and said, folks, I just want to tell you something. Now the auction is over. And everybody was aghast and wondered why. You could hear why go through the crowd. Why? And he said, well, it was a wish of the estate owner that whoever bought the painting of the son gets everything. You get Jesus, you get it all. Everything. I hope this sermon has been useful to you. I needed it. I've been thinking about it ever since they told me that I would preach today. And I needed this sermon. I don't know if you needed it or not, but I did. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. Would you stand with me, please, and we'll have an invitation.